E-commerce isn't just an aspect of growing a successful wine business, it is crucial. And that's why I strongly recommend working with Offset Partners. As a proudly independent e-commerce technology and brand design company based in wine country, Offset understands the operational nuances and the customer service imperatives that distinguish a great online buying experience from a mediocre one. And that's why leading and legendary brands like Saxum, Arnott Roberts, and Kermit Lynch Wine Merchant choose Offset's proprietary commerce technology platform to power their DTC sales. If you're an allocated winery or a high-touch merchant that values an elegant, effective commerce solution for both you, your customers, and your team, reach out to the smart team at offsetpartners.com. That's OFFSET, partners with an S.com, to craft a better direct-to-consumer experience.
I'll Drink to That, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today. Andrea Kalik on the show today. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. Oh, excellent.
Welcome to New York.
Thank you.
So you're making wine in the Ardèche.
Yeah.
But originally you're from Czechoslovakia.
That's right.
And how did that segue? And what happened in between being in the Czech army to moving to France?
When I was in Czech army, I was just going in France like for holiday because it was after 89. So we had first time possibility like in army to go for 2 weeks holiday in another countries. And I was going to France. And when I came there, of course, I wanted to stay a little bit more than 2 weeks because I was going in chiking and was first time I was chiking so far. So it took me like 5 days to go in south of the France. And so I was going to see some doctor and to ask him if he can try to write me that I'm sick. Well, so I stayed 3 weeks more. Well, so and I told my mother just to say in army that I'm sick, but she didn't say it in this way. So, well, all the military police was looking for me like a deserter.
I saw that movie. Yeah, with the dogs and then a lot of yelling. So you had to go back to Czechoslovakia?
Yeah, so I was going to go back. When I finished army, like 5 days after, I was going with my friends. They was going 1 week before me, wanted to go in Germany to make little money and to go to Brazil, just a road trip. And in Germany, in Frankfurt, we had friend who was in Czech Republic before. He thought it better go to south of the France, Nice. So we changed it. We was going to Nice. And then I met a French woman. And I stayed with her, and I never been in Brazil. Well,
you didn't make it.
No. No.
And you worked around Nice.
Not really Nice, but not so far. It's all the time southeast of the France. Yeah.
So like Côte d'Aix-en-Provence.
Yeah, okay. Provence. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So you worked at Ovet?
Yeah, just 1 year. Yeah. It was just mission to help her to pass from biologic to biodynamic way of farming.
And how did you get involved with biodynamic farming?
Because I was working before, from 99, I was interested about biodynamy and I was working a little bit with Nicolas Joly. I made conference together, we made in Czech Republic and translating his book and like that. So I know one girl, so very good friend of Dominic Ovet. So it's like that. It was just meeting like all the time in my life. I met good people in good time.
And what about, did you spend any time in Morgon or?
Yes, that I met like 99 Jan Orwell. It's on a lock. And he was working and this year first time for Marcel Richaud, like on Olo Consulting. So I made like that Marcel Richaud and other wineries working in this way in south of Côte d'Huron. And with him I met Petit Max Guy Breton from Morgon, and then Marcel Lapierre, Paul Po, Thévenet, and Petit Jean Maitre, all these gang.
And what was that experience like?
It was very nice, yeah.
Well, in terms of, I've actually never met any of those people. I've drunk all their wines, but what were they like in person?
I was the most with Petit Max, because we was working after Vicien from 2004. I was working like in consulting company, and was also small negotiant company, and was working in Beaujolais and also in south of the Rhone. So when we was in Beaujolais, he was sleeping in Petit Max's house.
And Petit Max is Guy Breton, right? That's his nickname.
So I was, I could see how he makes the wine and teach quite a lot there. Yeah.
So sort of in a natural style, little carbonic maceration.
Yeah, that's right.
And at some point you worked at Mazel in the south.
Mazel, it was when I was with Hovet. I met her in 2004 before I was starting with Jan. And so we've been in some tasting together. And he told me then he has 30 hectares, and this time it's too big for him. He wants to go a little bit down. And he's looking for somebody will be interesting to take some hectares and who would be work more or less same way. Yeah.
And so that was you?
And that was me in first time. Yeah. After it was another person, but first it was me. But it took me 2 years. I was 2 years going, loads of seasons there, tasting, looking the grapes, tasting the grapes, looking the vineyards, and choosing if yes or not, and which one part. And Gerald and all family, Jocelyn and his father, was very, very, very open and very gently to me. Yeah, absolutely.
So you get down there and you're renting vines from Mazel. And when do you start making wines under Andrea Kalik label?
It was 2007. First vintage, yeah. I started with 3 hectares. I rent in the beginning from Mazel, and I had some garage where I make wine, made wine. Yeah. And slowly I bought this parcel, and after I bought another part of Saint-Philippe, because it's someplace, because he bought it together with Domaine Vigneault. It's also from Valvigny. And this one is Alba La Romaine, so it's a little bit far from them. So they was okay to sell it to me, so I was happy. Like that, I have 5.5 hectares in one piece by the cellar. That's very comfortable to work.
And what did you make the first year in 2007?
2007, yeah.
What was the production like?
I did 12,000 bottles, I think, in the beginning. It was like that, between 10 and 12,000. Yeah.
And you felt comfortable right away in terms of winemaking? You were ready to go? You said, I can do this.
Ready to go? Because I was going, yeah, I think I was ready to go, yeah. But we are not all the time absolutely ready. Yeah. Yeah.
So you made the Blonde for the first time in 2007.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
How it came, it was because I just wanted to make white, dry white. Name is Blanc, same. Not same, but it's very easy, Blanc. And because the first fermentation, it was 3 years. And didn't have place, it's in oak, and I didn't have money. So I had to do something for part of the wines to sell it faster. So I made Blonde. Yeah. And in 2011, I have enough place in my cellar to make just white, dry white. And so I stopped it Blonde. Yeah.
So after 11, there's no more Blonde?
No. No, I make it all the time, but just for me.
Oh, good. Well, hopefully you'll share some with me because I really like that wine.
just for to see, to don't lose the hand about it. And because I would like to make some bistro vin in a cellar. So maybe I will make it after just for bistro there, but I will never sell it again. No.
So it was a blend of Chardonnay and...
Maybe, yeah, it's not so usual, but I was thinking that Chardonnay will bring some acidity on this kind of the wine, and Viognier, some flowers. So, well, I tried like that, and sometimes it was not so bad.
Did you plan for it to have bubbles from the beginning?
Yeah, no.
That blonde, was the
it
plan
was
from
normally,
the
yeah. Because fermentation was so long when I put it in bottle, I had like 18, I think first year was like 18 or 17 grams of sugar. So in my head, it was for bubbles, yeah. Because also it was in special bottles, champagne bottles to keep pressure. So bubbles, it was all the time in my head.
Yeah. Because without the bubbles, it would have been really sweet.
Without bubbles, it's for me a little bit boring because even 50 grams of sugar, it's for me too much. After some people like it, but not me.
Did you in some ways view it kind of like beer production? Because, you know, it has that crown cap on the top. You're from Czechoslovakia. Blonde is what often certain beers are referred to. Was there a history there behind your thinking where you thought, oh, maybe something
about
like
name?
Yeah, or just style.
My style was not, I was not thinking about style. I just put it in bottle and I was hoping that bubbles will come inside. And blonde, it was because it was 2007. So first it was blonde 007. And I found it funny, but I forget that it will be blonde 008. And it's much less funny. So, well, it's just like that. Yeah.
So you stopped making it. And another one that you have made and then you changed a little bit more recently was the Babiol. In terms of the blend, you changed it.
Yeah.
So how did that get started, which is a red wine?
Yeah. That was because in beginning I had a different parcel than I have now. I had from Saint-Philippe just like from a half part Saint-Philippe of Gérald, I have half. And I have another parcel like Carignan in Valvinière. But when I bought... The parcel, Gérald told me, you bought it, but you take it, everything there. So it was after too much for me, so I leave it him, Carignan. So it's for that, it was different blending between 2007, 2010, and 11, 12, like that.
Because it used to have the Carignan in it.
In the beginning, yes.
And now it does not.
No.
And how have you seen the difference in terms of the taste with that change?
Don't think it's so much important. Like I think vintage is more important than because Carignan it was like 10, 15, 20%, so it was quite small part of Babiol. So it was all the time most of the Grenache and second was Syrah.
And how do you drink the wine? Do you decant it? Do you drink it straight from the bottle?
I don't decant wine.
And what do you eat it with? Or do you just drink?
Sometimes I just drink. Sometimes I eat. I eat with Babiol. It depends on vintage, of course, all the time. But, for example, it's 2012. It's quite easy drinkable wine. So sausage, pâté, these things, it's okay, yeah.
And how have you seen those vintages vary? What had happened in those years in terms of conditions from the harvest?
But most of the time it's climate. Yeah. That's what changed because I don't change much. I just I have to change every year because the grapes are different. But it's climate. It's the weather tell me like in September or in August when I make harvest, I start to make vinification, how to be the least possible stupid with the grapes. So.
In terms of that conditions, could you summarize for me the different years? Like, you know, what was it like in 10? What was it like in 11? What was it like in 12?
Yeah, in 2007, for example, it was quite nice vintage without complication, good maturity, everything like that was okay. 2008, it was a big catastrophe. Because it was raining loads of, like 1 month all the time in May. So we lose it like 100%. Me, it was like 80%. But because I was small, so I was going with my sinking back to make treatment. And so Grenache and Carignan was burned. So it's special vintage because even Babiol is like 80-85% Syrah. And then you have 2009, what was very, very hot vintage. And we had everywhere in France problem with volatile.
So the volatile acidity got
was
high.
Going high, but we didn't know why. From all France, people call me, and I knew it. So I say, you call me about for volatile. Yes. You, I say, me same. You understand? I don't know. Don't understand. I don't know what happened. Nobody understood what happened. But it was good, this volatile, because it was volatile making by vinification. So it's including in a wine. And wine was so strong and so powerful that it was very good to have a little bit volatile for to have some acidity more or something like that. If not, it will be maybe too heavy without volatile 2009. And but by winemaking, it was quite hot for us, yeah, because we didn't know where it will be stop. Well, so it's all the time like that.
And what about 10?
10, it was different. It was less hot vintage. It's quite easy drinkable wine. And 10, it was strange for me, a special vintage for me, because I leave it my cellar to a new winemaker started, and my cellar was not finished. So I make vinification in Domaine Mazel winery. So it was, you know, I am with somebody, so it was very well, but I had to see and to feel another place. It was, for that, it was not easy. Yeah.
And so eventually you did open your own cellar. You have your own cellar facility.
Yeah. 2011, it was first fermentation in my cellar.
And what was it like working in that facility?
Well, excellent. I was very happy.
How big is it?
It's not so big, but it's okay for me. But it's, you know, it's new, it's functionally. And so you clean it very fastly. You know, it's very comfortable. Yeah.
And do you still live in the vines, like in the trailer in the vines?
Yes, still, yes.
And does that give you, you know, you can just like walk out and there are the vines. So it's kind of easy.
Yeah.
So like no commute, you know?
No.
That's yeah. Those are your vines, you work them?
Yeah, that's what I like.
And what was 11 like in terms of the climate conditions?
11, it was hot and strong vintage. Was quite close to 7, I say. Yeah. And it was quite easy fermentation. I was quite surprised because the cellar was new, so I was a little bit scared, and it started slowly, but finished it very, not very fast, but without any problems. It was quite easy vintage. 2014, if it's like that, I signed now. Yeah.
You think it's going to be?
No, I sign now. I say yes. Well,
oh yeah, you'd prefer it to be like that. Okay, yeah. But did you see lower yields in 12 and 13?
Yeah, big difference for me. Yeah. Because 12, it was quite hard for us. 13 also, about quantity, it was two quite cold years. Well, so it's. And quantity, it's very slow. 2012, it's I think it's about 20 years the lowest quantity in France. 2013, it's quite similar. So it's all the time a little bit hard if you have two vintage, very small vintage, about quantity.
Has it been difficult for you? Because you just opened your own cellar?
No, it's okay for me. It's not, it's if it will continue like that for 2-3 years, it will be very difficult. But yeah.
And what about the Syrah that you make?
Chateau de Garde? That's Syrah.
I think that's my favorite answer on the show so far. So, but I mean, what is the concept there with your own thinking? What are you striving to produce?
I try with every wine to produce the best I can with the grapes I have, with the grapes I help it to born. Syrah is wine like about Babiole. It's wine more complicated, stronger, of course, because maceration is longer. The vineyards it's older, and so you have less quantity, and so you have like 1 month of maceration for Syrah. And after it's 1 year in oak for what we call élevage. So yeah, so it's wine. It's a little bit more complicated and stronger than Babiole. Yeah.
In this country, I think you're often associated with natural wine. Is that something that you associate with in your own mind? Is that a part of what you're about, or how should I understand what you're up to?
Natural wine. What I can say, it start to be big world, like biodynamic, it's now big world. I think we don't have to speak about these things much. It's very, lots of time it's very personal. And my definition of natural wine, it's you don't put anything, you don't take out anything, just grapes with fermentation. Well, and because I am lazy, I don't like to make something, but I don't see a reason why to make it. Well.
And what has the market been like for you? What is it like to sell the wines that you make?
Well, like everywhere. Yeah. In Europe, it's in France, of course, normal. Then Czech Republic a little bit, not much, but it's normal also. And then it's Swiss, Belgium, Holland, England, Denmark, Sweden, Germany, Italy, then United States, Canada, Japan.
So we're actually pretty low on the United States is pretty low on the buying level?
No, it's one of the big markets. Yeah, yeah. It's not the biggest, but it's one of the big markets, yeah.
And what has the scene changed in terms of working the fairs and introducing it to people? Do you see more people coming now?
No, it's very difficult to go in my place because if my telephone number is in internet somewhere, I change my number.
How many times have you had to do that?
Twice. And because I work alone, I don't have time to reserve people. So you have to call me, what is difficult, or you have to send mail, what is possible, because mail is in every bottles, and I see if it's possible and like that. But it's not open like some winery. You have all the time somebody there, and you can come and to taste and buy. No, it's not possible because I am alone. And because I prefer to make wine than sell wine.
And what is success for you? I mean, if you're happy, what makes that happen?
If I'm happy, what's happened?
Yeah, I mean...
I smile.
No, not the result of when you're happy, but what makes you happy?
In a winemaking?
In life or anything.
In life?
Yeah.
Ah, to have good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you feel the wines are part of that? Like they're...
Yes. Yeah, of course, yeah.
So is approachability a part of that? Is being able to just drink?
Not even. I have a good time. Now I am like for 3 weeks out in Czech Republic, Sweden, Denmark. now in New York. So I will be happy to come back to be in wine art alone in nature and just be alone and look at wins to cut the wine art. Yeah. And that's make me happy. Yeah. Of course, it make me happy also to be in New York, have some good parties to drink and speak and laugh with people until too late. Yeah, also.
How often do you come to New York?
That's first time.
Oh, that's your first time. Okay. Yeah.
That's first time I was going everywhere.
Oh, okay.
In Sweden, it was first time. And Denmark, it was last year first time. England, it was first time. Swiss, was first time. Belgium, it was first time. Holland, it was first time. I didn't was going anywhere before. Yeah. That's the first year.
Is that because of the climate conditions in 14, or is it because of increased popularity for the wines?
No. That's just because I didn't have time, because from 10 we started to build the cellar, so it was I was very busy about that, and. I was busy. First things. Why? Well, now it's finished. So I told to myself, it will be nice for me, maybe for people also, to see every countries and not every, but most of country, and to see how people drink the wine there, how eat, where is it, and to say hello, to have good time also, of course. Yeah.
Do you have people that work with you now? Does someone help you? Just you?
Yeah, I have all the time people for some work like bottling or harvest, of course, or something like that. We need to be like 3 or 4 for short time, like 2 days, 3 days, like that. But I don't have anybody in a year now.
You know, when you think about the wines, are they meant to be drunk on release, or should I be cellaring them for a while, or some combination of the two?
That's depend battle. Yeah, you can put it if you buy 2012 now. You can put it in cellar for a few years. Chateau de Garde maybe for 10, 2011 white, maybe for 20, but I'm not sure because I didn't make. So long time wine, so we will see now in 15 years, if it's possible to have it 20 years. But Babiol 2007, it's still, Babiol 2007, it's, no, it's still okay, but it's going to die. But Chaton 2007 is still living. So, well, it's different.
Have there been surprises for you along the way? What surprised you while you've been making wine in the Ardèche?
By 2008, about the weather, it was big surprise, because it was... now we are smiling, but we was not smiling absolutely in this time. I was all the time in the vineyard with my treatment machine in my back and trying to do something. So I was working quite hard, and I have 10% of the grapes, and people have more than me of hectares, so couldn't do it like that. So they didn't have nothing, but it was costed so much money, then it was very expensive, 10%. So it was very that was a big surprise. This kind of the raining all the time with hot temperature. Was very fast. So how it goes so fast, I was surprised. And I had another surprise about the wine. 2009, very hot year, and Viognier Blanc, white, it's surprisingly fresh, without acidity. It's not much acidity, but in a mouth, it's fresh. So that's nice surprise.
Are there other people's wines that you happen to really like, or that you've learned from over the period of time, either through drinking or working with them?
But I will say Domaine Mazel, because he makes really excellent wines. And because I have change to chance to taste old vintage, well, that's there are wines very, very amazing. Also some old vintage of new vintage also, but old vintage from Petit Max, like he's 82 in Magnum, 89, it's amazing. Yeah, there are loads of wines make me very nice vibration, strong vibration, and I say, wow, I would like to make that.
How have you seen the reception when you've traveled to these places for the first time? What has it been like to meet the people who are interested in your wines?
It was people was everywhere very, very nice.
Except here.
In New York era, very, very, very nice. But I am quite shy, so I don't like to speak much about wines. It's not my thing. So it's a little bit difficult for me. Until 2 o'clock morning, after it's okay, but before it's a little bit difficult. But no, people was it was excellent. Yeah.
In the Ardèche, do you see more and more people working in the style that you do? You do?
Absolutely. When I was coming there, it was just Domaine Mazel, Gilles Lazoni. I was third, and now we are like 10 working in this small area of Ardèche, because they are in Ardèche of North, like 30 kilometers of us. You have Thierry Allemand, Hervé Sou, Daniel Sage, Domaine de la Lune, other people, friends, but in our small area, from 2 in 7 years, we are 10, and will be another 2 guys more next year. So it's excellent. It's good synergy.
What's the soil like in the area where you work?
Where I am, it's calcare, loads of calcare, and argile, how we say it in English, argile. So it's quite heavy ground. So for to work the ground, it's not easy. You have to. I am waiting all the time. The most of the time I can before next rain. Yeah.
And is it different to work Grenache than Syrah? Is there qualities?
No, it's quite more the same.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's one piece. What is different? It's inclination, because it's going like a little bit in east, and and after it's going a little bit to north, a little bit to south. Yeah, that's things. And then you have, for example, 1 hectare of Grenache. In this 1 hectare, you have like 3 different soil. Not really different soil, but soil differently working. You have one part, you have like maybe 30, 40 centimeters of soil. And then you have a stone, and in other part we have like 1 meter, 1 meter and a half, so it works differently.
Being, Czech in France, do you feel a bit like an outsider sometimes, or have people been welcoming to you there in the region?
No, I don't feel like outsider, no. If you go to Ardèche, even if you are Paris, maybe it's worse. If you are from Paris, you are outsider. So now Czech, it was for the people quite okay, because they didn't know from which galaxy it's the Czech Republic. So it was easier. Yeah. If I was Parisian from Paris, it would be much more difficult, I think.
And how did you meet Savio Suarez, your importer?
We met together in some wine tasting. He was working with Axel Pfeffer, and I think it's Axel made him drink my wines first, and then we saw each other in Millésime Bio, I think it was.
And what's it been like to work with?
How we work together?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's good. Yeah, it's good. I like Savio. He's very singularly special guy, but gay. And
not gay at all.
No, I don't think so. No.
No.
And he is big enthusiast for what he's making. And I think he works a lot for us and same time for himself, I hope so. And he's funny, we have good time, and he don't, he's not, you know, it's all the time very friendly. It's not, don't speak, I'm here like 4 days, we never spoke about money, we never spoke about these things, about, no, it's speak about wines, of course, but it's a friendly discussion, it's okay, I like it.
There's been some discussions in France about, you know, certain growers who have gotten into trouble or via like not spraying, like Gibelot, or the way that they label their wines, like Cousin, and they've had, you know, in a way feels like a lot of troubles. Has any of that reached people that have been in your circle in the Ardèche, or has it been fairly straightforward in dealing with authorities?
No, I think it's everywhere in France. In Ardèche, we don't have problem about the people. We are by them because, first, it's no appellation where we are, so for that it's okay. And then other people are just making the grapes and put it in cooperative. So we are absolutely not in same market. They was laughing in the beginning, now a little bit less, because now they see that we are more and more, and we are still living and making this work. So they maybe ask question of itself. Well, maybe it's not just some hippie or punk crazy idea. It's maybe it works, but we don't have problem with them. Absolutely not. But we don't have to treatment about Citadel, like in Burgundy, what was, we don't have these obligations. So after, I don't know what we will do, if it will happen. We will be like all the time, we will take some good food and good drink together, and we will decide probably together what we will do.
Have you seen effects of climate change in the Ardèche? Are there different pests or different...
No, I am too short time there to see climate change. Especially than last 2 years was quite cold years. So no. But of course, if you speak with old people from there, like are making this work like 50, 60 years, yeah, they say it changed a lot. Because they was picking the grapes like in October, and we make it in August, September, beginning of September.
But August sometimes,
yeah.
August.
Yeah, normally time it's August. Yeah.
Andrea Kalik, he's still alive and he's still making wine in the Ardèche, and less people are laughing. Thank you very much for being
here today.
It's nice to meet you. Andrea Kalik of the Kalik Winery.
All Drink to That is hosted and produced by myself, Levy Dalton. Aaron Skella has contributed original pieces. Editorial assistance has been provided by Bill Kimsey. The show music was performed and composed by Rob Moose and Thomas Bartlett. Show artwork by Alicia Tenoyan. T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and so much more, including show stickers, notebooks, and even gift wrap, are available for sale if you check the show website, alldrinktothatpod.com. That's I-L-L, drinktothatpod.com, which is the same place you'd go to sign up for our email list or to make one of the crucially important donations that help keep this show operating. You can donate from anywhere using PayPal or Stripe on the show website. Remember to hit subscribe or to follow this show in your favorite podcast app, please. That's super important to see every episode. And thank you for listening.